Well, this morning, let me ask you a simple question. Are you in love? Or maybe I should ask you, are you in love? Now that question, we talk about love in our society, in our culture, of course, in so many ways that are sometimes confusing when we talk about love. A lot of times when we ask that question, we think about things like Romeo and Juliet, right? We think about young love. We think about passionate love. We think about people who they can't stop thinking about each other. They're running out into the night, you know, looking for each other. And it elicits this mindset of young love and passionate love and rash, impulsive behavior, right? You know, that's what we sometimes think about when you're asking, are you in love? Almost like you're bitten by some kind of bug. So that's what we think about. And we look around and say, well, if it's young, passionate love, could anybody in this room be in love? Could we be in love? Is it possible? But let us think biblically, right? Are we in love? Are you in love this morning? Now, if we define it, not so much like Romeo and Juliet, things didn't actually end so well for them. If we define our lives as hidden in Christ, because we are to be hidden in Christ, if we honor the greatest commandment that God gives us, to love your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, if we personally know the love of God, then we're in love. We're in love. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Why is that? Why is that? Because if we are in God, we are in love. So we have to stop and think and rethink those words. Now, to the world, that may not be so exciting, right? Because it doesn't involve this wanton, crazy passions that you just go with the flow of whatever your desire and hormones can conjure up, right? And that's what this world is saying. This world is saying, that's what love is, but God's saying, no, I made love, by the way. God made love. He knows what love is. And in fact, the Bible says he is love. And if we understand what love is truly all about, then to the Christian, this should be the most exciting word ever. Not because of how the world defines it, but because how God defines it. It's incredibly exciting for those who are in Christ. It's life-changing. And in fact, it's incredibly fulfilling if we find ourselves in Christ, that we know the love of God and that we're growing in this great knowledge of God and his love for us. It's incredibly fulfilling. It's life-giving. And the world does not know unless they know God. So it's awesome to say this, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you in a way that Romeo and Juliet never knew. He loves you with passion. Yes, passion. Do you know God has passion for you? But not as the world thinks. God is passionate for you. And this is not just a Sunday school lesson, not just something to say, okay, that's nice. I've heard those words before. But digging into the reality of knowing and living in this love. So live in love. To live in love is simply to say, live in God. Paul talks about this. He talks about love. There's a chapter on it, in fact. We know the chapter very well. Oftentimes the chapter is used in weddings, right? Because of course, right? But Paul wasn't writing that chapter so that in the future all weddings would have those verses. But he's speaking to our lives, our whole lives, every part of them. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You probably know what verse well. I'm going to start in verse 4. And we'll read. Love. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Hallelujah. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And of course, the chapter continues. I'm going to stop right there, though. Paul, of course, preceding these verses, is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and how important they are to the church. Extremely important. But he's also saying that if you have gifts and you are operating in these gifts of the Spirit in incredible ways, but you don't have love, you're a resounding gong, a clanging gong. In what? It comes to nothing. And of course, in this chapter, he's saying love is the most important thing. The most important thing. So he talks about this love as it's absolutely, incredibly significant. And it's not just any kind of love. As he outlines the kind of love he's talking about, he's saying this love is a love from God. It's a love of God. And this love has attributes. It's kind. It's patient. It is not proud. It doesn't boast of itself. This love honors others above ourselves. It benefits others. It blesses others, even when there is a cost to that blessing, when there is a sacrifice to the giving. It's a love that keeps no record of wrongs, that forgives, and does not hold on to wrongdoings. It's a love that does not delight in any kind of wickedness, but instead celebrates God's truth and cheers when God's truth wins out. Hallelujah. Isn't it exciting when God's truth wins out? Love protects. It says love protects others. In this Greek verb, it really implies a covering. A protection, a covering, literally like a roof on a house that gives you protection every day of the week, no matter what the weather is like on the outside. It gives you protection on the inside. This is the love that covers us. It protects us. It's a love that trusts. It's a love that believes and seeks for the best. Because it's a love that does believe all things. Even when things don't look good, this love believes and hopes for greater, for better. This kind of love, this is a God kind of love. It sees what God sees in a person. Because love can distinguish between the failures that are present now in somebody's life and the future that God holds for them. The victories that they're going to win, even though right now they are steeped in failure. This is what God's love does. God's love perseveres. It perseveres to see things through. It doesn't give up. It doesn't let go, even in times of difficulty. God's love is not fickle. It is not weak. It has an everlasting foundation, a strength in it that holds tightly to what is true, what is right, what is good. Love never fails. It never fails. It never ceases. It never stops. It never falters. It never comes to an end. Aren't you glad that God loves you with this kind of love? Hallelujah. What a powerful statement that love never fails. But it's true. It's true. Now you may say to me, but Mark, there's all kinds of failures in this world. Look at relationships and how relationships fall apart, constantly are falling apart. People who say they love each other, but they don't after such and such time. Friendships, marriages, families. Where's the love? It seems like love does fail. And what about how I feel on the inside? What about, I don't feel love, or I don't feel loved, even when God says I am loved. When we look at what the world hears when they see this passage, and they probably do mock, and they say, well, come on, the Bible can't be true, because look, love fails all the time. But that's because people approach love from a worldly perspective. They put their lens of love on this passage. And when they put their lens of love on the passage, they see that love fails. Because their love fails. The love that all of us at one time or another have operated in, we have found that that love fails. It doesn't hold up. And that's what does happen. Our love fails. The worldly version of love fails. The Greek word here for love is agape. You probably are familiar with that word. It's the God kind of love. It's a love that we don't really know apart from God, because it's a love that God gives. It's a perfect kind of love. It's a sacrificial kind of love. This God kind of love is what he gives to us each and every day. There are three other common Greek words that are used for love, and I want to talk about them just briefly. The first is eros. This world knows that so well and teaches it and promotes it every day of our lives. We can't even watch a TV commercial or a commercial break without coming in contact with it. Because that's the way this world operates. It's eros is a physical or romantic love. Some would say even an erotic love. And our worldly culture has preached this to us over and over again, to the point that it has many people believing that this is the highest form of love. This is the greatest love of all loves. This is the expression in relationships that reaches the pinnacle of relationships. The world would have us believe that, and believe you me, and you know too, that many people believe that, because that's how they live their lives, that this is the pinnacle, this is the highest form of love. And so they bow down at the altars of Epaphrodite, and they worship pleasure as their god. I mean, boy, aren't we steeped in that in our culture? We are steeped in that. Why? Because the devil has been lying to people for many, many, many years, and has people believing a false deception. And there's many, many broken people because of this. The world perverts what God created. For the blessings that God created romantic love. He even wired us to find special connection, man and woman, to find a special connection. And God created this blessing for marriage union, and the increase of families. That as we take dominion and multiply, we do so with God's blessing. Eros has its place, but it falls far short of what we were fully created for. I think we would all agree. Then there's philia, which is a friendship love. Philia is based on mutual respect and shared values, where we have affection for one another based on these things. It has the connotation of, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And it works really well for each other. We care for each other. It is a caring for each other. It is a doing for each other. It has a mutual blessing involved in it. I actually brought my, it's not mine, but it's our, I guess they are, it's our family back scratcher. And this one reaches far, you know, so if you just need to scratch your back, you can do it. But that's kind of like sometimes this friendship love is like, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. You know, you take care of me, I'll take care of you. And it's very mutual. And we'll care for each other. And that is good until the day that somebody stops scratching my back. And then you come into the relationship and he says, hey, I need my back scratched. And the person says, no, I'm not back scratching your back anymore. Because remember the time when my toe was itching and you didn't show up and you weren't anywhere to be found? You didn't itch my toe. So I'm not going to scratch your back. And that's how that thing goes, right? And so then you're left with one of these. Because the person who is scratching your back is gone. And so now you're left with a Walmart version of a back scratcher. And it's just you and the back scratcher. And every time you use the back scratcher, you're reminded of how somebody failed you in life. Because your person that was scratching your back, who was meeting that need, who was filling that void, they're gone. And what did they leave you with? Walmart version of back scratcher. Oh, that person really loved me. Sometimes in life, every time we're reminded of our voids, we get mad. We get upset that somebody failed us in love and left us with one of these. I hope that's not you today, but if it is, fall in love with God and know His love and let Him fill that void, because God has a lot more for you than just a back scratcher. Then there's storge. Storge love is like family love that you find in family bonds. And as you know and I know, we all know, family can be wonderful. And we can find wonderful love in family, and it can be terrible. And we could find the opposite. Because when family is good and healthy, blessings flow. Incredible blessings flow. I mean, it actually is. It's something that God intended. Intended for there to be love in the family and for you to be built up in the family and for you to be a part of a family. God intended that for each and every one of us. But we also know that there's a lot of brokenness in families. And there's a lot of hurt that happens in families. And love does not get fulfilled. And sometimes people even feel like orphans. They feel like they've been stripped of that blessing. Well, God even wants to fill the orphan's heart. You know, is His heart, that you're never an orphan, not with God. Even if your family forsakes you, the Bible says, God will not forsake you. Because even when David says, even if your mother forsakes you, how could a mother forget her child? But even if, God will not forget you. That's the kind of love. You see, every love has its place. Eros, philia, storge. They all have their place, but nothing finds its fulfillment unless we get to the fullness of God's love, His agape love, because all relationships are blessed. All relationships grow when they understand and operate with agape. Agape is sacrificial. It gives to bless. It delights in blessing the other. It wants to increase the other, to bring forth life, to give life. You know, each of us needs love. We all need love. But my prayer is that each of us would experience this incredible agape love, because everything else falls short. It falls short of the fullness that God wants us to experience in our lives and the kind of love He wants us to give. Every relationship comes to a higher place with agape in it. You know, Paul calls out and speaks again to his love. He says again that love is the most important thing. He says it's more important than spiritual gifts. And to grow in God's love, this is important. To grow in God's love is to mature. It's where we find our growth and maturity in Christ, that we are going from little babies, to mature in the faith. We can't be mature in faith unless we're experiencing and living in God's love, unless we know that love. You will see God growing in you as you see His love growing in you. But we know this can be hard. We know this can be difficult. And certain tests come our way. Many tests come our way in lives. And sometimes they come in the form of a person. Not the person beside you. But the person in the family, the friend, the boss, the person who wants to be your enemy, it comes in many forms. And of course it comes in our marriages as well, where there's a test of love. And it requires something that's hard to give sometimes, because it requires sacrifice. It requires letting go of our rights sometimes. It requires us even letting go of being right when we know we're right and everybody else around us should see it. But they don't. But we have to let go of those rights. It's a dying to self. Isn't this the Christian walk of dying to self? And I can't love others unless I am experiencing this dying to self, this love of God that I'm to give and sacrificially, and even when it costs me something. I can't do that unless I'm dying to self. Now, God's love is like the prodigal father. It's seeing the best in others even when they're living opposite of God's will. They're outside of God's will. They're doing all the wrong things. They're acting like the prodigal. And it's not easy. But the story of the prodigal father shows us how to love. When we serve others, when we do for others, then they don't deserve it. They really don't deserve it. You know, somehow the father to the prodigal, when the prodigal came home, he felt love for his son. His son had offended him. His son had done all the wrong things. His son had taken the money and run and lived it and wasted it in all kinds of sinful living, had rejected him. I mean, the son rejected the father. And he ran away. But the father hoped for, believed for, prayed for, waited for the son to come home. And what he experienced was love. Love. So it wasn't judgment and saying, hey, I'm glad you're home, but let's get some things straight. Let's talk about what you did. Now, there's true reconciliation. And true reconciliation does require some honest conversations. But love is the goal. And the father, his goal was to love. And what did he do? He clothed the son in rags and dirty. He clothed him in a robe of righteousness. He covered him. He literally covered him even when he was dirty and filthy, which represents the sin of this world. Do you think that's what Jesus did for us? Then while we were still yet sinners, he died. And that he covers us by his blood. He gives us a robe of righteousness. This is what Christ did for us. This is his love. And so we see that in the story of the prodigal son. So we're called. We're called to love like our Father. We're called to experience this love on the inside of us, because I'm telling you, the Father felt the love. He experienced love. He knew the love. The love poured out of him. But this too is what we're called to, that love can pour out of us, knowing that it's not from us, but it's God in us. This very nature of God living in us. Because the Bible says, it says, if we belong to God, God comes and makes his dwelling within us. He lives within us. And so thus there is love. Love lives in us. But I don't feel it. Are you feeling particularly loving right now? Maybe you do. That's good. I mean, I do. I actually do feel love. I do feel God's love. Felt it this morning, for sure. But sometimes we don't feel it. But if we have God in us, love lives in us, and there needs to be the evidence of love working in us. The Bible tells us in 1 John, verse 4, it says, love needs to not only be in us and live in us, it needs to work in us, a working in us. It says this is, John speaks, he says, dear friends, chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another. It's the same verb. Same verb from 1 Corinthians, from Paul. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Yes. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. There's a high calling to love. But the good news is we didn't have to go first, because we understand and know love because God loved us first. And he embodies, he is love. That's who his, this very character, his very nature, that's who he is. So that we could understand and know this love because we experience it firsthand because he loves us. This is why you should love yourself, by the way. You should love yourself because God loves you. He created you. He created you for love. He created you because he wants to love you. He wants you to experience it and to be in this love relationship with him. So to not love yourself is to not receive the love of God. If you receive the love of God, receive it. Truly receive it. Don't kind of half receive it. Don't receive it on 50% discount. He loves you and he paid the full price. The full price. God's love for you is not cheaper than his love for somebody else. So please love yourself, because God loves you with an everlasting, abundant love. And then love others. Love God. Love yourself. Love others. This is the working of God's love in you. And this is what brings you to completion, to this completeness made complete in God. And his love made complete in us. But you know, you can't experience that completeness without not only being love and receiving love, but you've got to give love. You got to give it. It's got to flow in you and it's got to flow through you. It's got to be rivers of life, because rivers of life don't stop at the dam. See, the dam is unforgiveness, is bitterness, it's resentfulness, it's envy. It's all the things that the enemy wants to put to stop up the love of God. Blow it up. Blow up the dam. Let the river flow. And those things must be dealt with, because we need this love of God working in us and through us. And we can't rely on our feelings. Our feelings are fickle. Our feelings are come and go. We don't always know what our feelings are going to be. But we should understand that God's love for us does not change. It's not based on feelings. God's not like, well, do I feel like loving them today? He doesn't do that. He just loves. And his love does not change for us, and it does not change for others, even the person that you're mad at and that you're upset with. Amazingly, God loves them too. Excuse me. Gonna sneeze, I think. It's one of those annoying ones that just kind of are. It's gonna catch me off guard. And I hope That's what love does to you today. I hope it catches you off guard. That went away. Does God ever correct us and it hurts? Yes, but does that mean he doesn't love us? No, in fact, it means he does love us because he's willing to correct us when we're off, we're wrong, we're on the wrong path, we're doing the wrong things, we're saying the wrong things, and God is willing to correct us, and it does hurt because it hurts our pride. We think we're right, but we're wrong. We think we're just, but we're not as near as just as we think we are. And God needs to reveal sometimes our own hearts to us. And it's humbling, but that's good. You see, that's God's love for us because he says if you're a son or a daughter, he will chastise you. He will correct you. It's not punishment. See, punishment is just to kind of beat you down. That's not God. We can experience that in this world and relationships in this world, but God, what discipline's all about, discipline is actually to build you up, is to help you, is to correct you, is to bring correction to the pathway of life you're on and to where you're going. So God loves us, even when he's correcting us. So we have to make a decision in our lives. How shall we live? Shall we live according to the world's way? Shall we live according to the world's way of love? Where I'm always expecting a back scratcher to meet my need, to fill my void? And what if that's not there? It never will fulfill us the way God meant us to be fulfilled. So we make choices every day. Am I going to live in love? Are you going to live in love today? Are you going to be in love? For the believer, that's really saying that I'm going to live in God. My life hidden in Christ. That's how I'm going to live. And that's where I'm going to find my fulfillment. That's where I'm going to find my being, is living in Christ. You know, even in my own experience, when I'm spending time with God, like even this morning, I'm feeling more of the love of God. Do you have those experiences? You're spending quality time with the Lord. You're in his word. You're in worship. You're in prayer time. You're fellowshipping in the body of believers. And you are experiencing the love of God. More, Lord. More. Because there's more. That's a well that does not dry up. And so we go back and say, yes, Lord, that's the kind of relationship I want to be in with you, Lord. A love relationship. Let this work in you. Because love, now that we've defined God's love, it never fails. It never fails. It never comes to an end, as the ESV translates that. It never stops. It never ceases. Literally, the verb says it never falters or falls like a petal on a leaf falling from a plant. And so we have the joy of knowing this love. Praise God. We have this kind of love. And John 15:9, Jesus says to us very simply, he says, just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Agape. Remain. Remain. Remain in my love. Some translations say abide. Abide in my love. And so when we remain in God's love, we have this great place of satisfaction that God gives us, that we can triumph over anything the enemy sends our way. When that rude driver cuts you off in traffic and lets you know that you were in their way, you can love them. You actually can. You maybe don't like them. But you can speak blessings. Oh God, bless them today for whatever problems he may have, or maybe problems or difficulties in life that he's dealing with. Lord God, bless him, help him, because he has issues. But Lord, he needs you. Whatever may come your way, for the person right now that you're not sure if they're ever going to turn to Christ because they're so rebellious, they're so turned against God. Hallelujah. You just never know, right? That even in the last moment, the person's heart comes to Christ because we don't give up. We don't stop praying. We don't stop asking. We don't stop seeking. We don't stop sharing. We don't stop loving. Because God even loves that one, that rebellious one, that one that curses the name of God. And we know those. But Lord God, call them out of their pain, out of their suffering, into this great love that you have for them. And so, we operate in this love, the Father's love. It says, Jeremiah 31:3, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Was God speaking to a bunch of Boy Scouts? No, he was speaking to a rebellious bunch of people who have prostituted themselves out with every other god, every other Baal worship and Astaroth and every other god of all nations. They had forsaken God. They forgot about God. They turned their back. These were hard-hearted, rebellious people. But God says, I have loved my people with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. This is the love of God. This speaks of the love that we are to live in and how we're to love each other. Wow. Lord God, help us to love each other. It's not easy, but how important to remain and to abide in God's love. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. Unless you're grafted into the vine, unless you're remaining in God's love, you can't do it. Our efforts will fall short. So we intimately need to know and grow in this greater love. So let me ask you one more time. Are you in love today? Are you in love? I pray that you are absolutely head over heels in love, the love of God, as you live in Him and have your being in Him. Don't be discouraged when your love fails, but understand that the invitation is go deeper. Go deeper. Go deeper in the waters. Don't get your toes wet. Go into the waters, the living waters of God. Might as well just get your head under the waters. And let Him touch every part of you. Let Him love every part of you. Every failure in your life, every misstep, He died for it all. He didn't die just for the good part. He wants everything. So a wonderful prayer for us today is, God, grow your love in me. I can't do it by myself. My love fails. It falls short. I need you. Show me what your love. Show me more of your love. I need more. And may God fill every void in your life. And may He be the love in you that also blesses and ministers to others around you. And may we operate from a place of agape working in each one of us.